ropes in here. We are set to go. Hallelujah. Brother Ike was in the hospital. Brother Enzer was there, and me and him were visiting. And he was telling me about something that he dreamed. And I said, Brother Enzer, I said, I've had the same dream over and over again. He said, what is it? I said, I have dreamed that I got in the pulpit. I forgot my glasses. I couldn't see. I couldn't find the scripture I was supposed to preach from. I couldn't find my notes. And I just didn't know what to do. And he began to jiggle, and he said, Brother, he said, I dream the same thing. He said, I dream I get up there, and it's just a mess. Amen. And more than once, I've had a lens pop out of glasses on one side. Have you ever tried to read through glasses with the lenses popped? It's not easy. And so I try to be very gentle when I get up with these old glasses so that they don't fly apart. Amen. I've got to find somewhere else to go rather than the dollar store. Amen. For my glasses. Well, open your Bibles if you will. Thank you for coming. Brother Billy tried to run everybody out, but he didn't succeed. Amen. Thank you for being here. Amen. Amen. John chapter 1. I'm going to preach on something I've never preached on before. And it just... Well, I don't know what it just... I just decided I'd preach on it, and it was in my mind and in my heart. Yeah. And so I thought I'd preach on it. John chapter 1, beginning in verse number 29. The Bible says these things, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, if you've read in the gospel account of the birth of Christ and the birth of John, John was born first. But John said, it don't matter, he was before me. Amen. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now, boy, I like first-hand testimony. I'm scared of modern-day history books because they're constantly rewriting it to fit our philosophies. Amen. Yes. I like the originals.
Yes.
Amen. And we've got some very, very old manuscripts of the Bible. And here's a witness that all the gospel writers sought to write about. John the Baptist, who said, I saw him. I saw what happened to him. I saw what he did. And I was told about him before. And I want to tell you something. He is the Son of God. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God.
Amen.
And so twice in this chapter, in verse number 36 and in verse number 29, John made an exciting declaration. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, you notice the words next day. The day previous to the first time that he made that declaration, the religious people came out and they said, Who are you? Are you the Christ? And the Bible doesn't say he denied. The Bible says he confessed. He said, No, it ain't me. I'm not him. He said, I've come for two reasons. Number one, I've got a message. Somebody's coming, and I've been sent to prepare the way for him. Number two, repent. Repent and get ready for his coming. Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell you, the same thing's going to happen before Jesus comes the second time. He's going to send two witnesses preaching over there, amen, in the streets of Jerusalem. And I want to tell you, a great Hebrew revival is going to occur at that time. Hallelujah. But John emphasized, there is the one that I was talking about. He said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now in the Old Testament, the question is asked in Genesis 22, where is the Lamb? Isaac looked at his daddy as they were going to Mount Moriah to offer a burnt offering to the Lord. He said, Daddy, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the Lamb? And Abraham said, it's God's business. He'll provide the Lamb. Amen. And so the Old Testament asks the question, where is the Lamb? But the New Testament provides the answer. John says, there is the Lamb.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Now in the Old Testament, many, many lambs were offered in sacrifice. Amen. The Bible tells us, and God commanded that morning and evening, every day, there be a lamb offered up. Then in Exodus chapter 12, we read about the Passover lamb. And so the Old Testament is full of the sacrifice of lambs, many lambs. And they were lambs that were brought by men, provided by men for the sins of the nation of Israel. But this lamb was provided by God.
Amen.
And not just for the sins of Israel, but the Bible says for the sins of the whole world. Glory to God. There he is. Provided by God. Now, Abraham understood that message because in Genesis 22, after the question was asked, where is the lamb? And the ram was provided with his horn stuck in the thicket for the offering there after Abraham was going to offer up his son as God commanded him to do. God said, we're going to call this place something. Jehovah Jireh, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. He said, what's happened today is simply a predicting picture of what one day is going to happen in this very same place, Mount Moriah. You know where Mount Moriah was? If you go to the book of Chronicles, you'll find out Mount Moriah was in Jerusalem. Amen. And so John says, behold the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. Now that word thee is a definite article. This is not one of those lambs that was to be offered morning and evening and at Passover and many other times. But he said, this is the Lamb.
Yeah.
And he says, behold. And so what that word means, he's saying, fasten your eyes on this individual with all of your attention and focus on him. Later, when questions arose about Christ and John, John said this. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Amen. Focus on him. Don't focus on me. Hallelujah. He was the Lamb. Now, there's something interesting when you go to Exodus chapter 12 and you study about that Passover lamb. As it refers to that lamb, initially in verse number 3, it refers to a lamb. A lamb for every household. Amen. Yes. And in the next verse, he refers to it as the lamb. And in the very next verse, he's referred to as your lamb. Hallelujah. It goes from generality to specifics to that which is personal for you and me. Hallelujah. Salvation is a personal experience that can never be experienced until we realize and focus on the fact that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God offered up and given for our sins. Amen. That's where it begins. And so glory to God. John preached it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
He said he's coming. Get ready. Repent. Then he preached this. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now you look in your scripture and see what the first message Jesus himself preached. I'm going to tell you what it was. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was.
Yeah.
And so you know what we need to do as a church? You know what we need to do as a people? We need to focus on Jesus and behold him. Why, preacher? Because he said, if I be lifted up. Amen. He said, I'll draw all men unto me. Glory to God. That don't mean everybody's going to be saved. Amen. Amen. But I won't tell you, the lure is there and the draw is there, amen. And they have to resist to not come to Jesus Christ. Amen, because of the witness of the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk to you about that Lamb that we behold, amen.
Yes.
First of all, I want you to consider the fact that he is a worthy Lamb.
Yes, he is.
He is described here as the Lamb. And he's worthy.
Yes,
sir. Amen. When he was baptized and the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove, the Bible said a voice was heard from heaven. You know what it said? This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. What was God saying? He's worthy. He's worthy. Brother, I want to tell you, he took Peter, James, and John upon a mountain. And the Bible says he was transfigured before him. His glory that he had before he came to this world burst forth. And he said he shined. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Elijah and Moses, the two greatest prophets of the Old Testament, appeared with him. Peter didn't know what else to say, but being with a big mouth, he had to say something. So he said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build some tabernacles, some tents, so we can just camp out right here with Moses and Elijah. Glory to God. They didn't say that, but that's what he was intended. And a voice came again from heaven. You know what it said? This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him.
Right.
Amen. It's not about Elijah and Moses. They spoke about Christ, the Lamb of God. So don't focus on them. Focus on him. And hear what he's got to say. Amen. Glory to God. Woo!
Yeah.
He is a worthy Lamb. Yes. Now I want you to go to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation chapter 5. I want us to read about that. Revelation chapter 5. Then we're going to talk about why he is worthy. Now as you close the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter number 12, Daniel said, as he was speaking to the angel there, he said, I heard all these things, but he said, I understood them not.
Yep.
Amen. The angel said this, he said, Daniel, the words are not for you. He said, listen now, seal up the book. He said, because they are for the latter days. And so the book or the scroll was sealed. Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, a scroll, written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now what book is that, you happen to think? Bible don't tell us what book it is, but I only find one other book in the Bible that God says seal it up for the last days. And friend, you know well as I do, if you read the book of Revelation, it's got to be for the last days. Amen?
Right.
That's what it's about. And so here, we see that scroll now that pertains to the people of the last days. And so they see it sealed. And he said in verse 2, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy? Who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. There was nobody found deserving, worthy, or one having the authority to open up the seals of that book. Amen. Now, what's John's reaction? He wanted to know, didn't he? He said, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look therein. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. You know what that word prevailed means? It means he's won the fight. There's nobody left that can challenge him, so he's going to open up this book. Hallelujah. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he'd taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Glory to God. The question is asked, who is worthy? The Lion of the tribe of Judah was the victor. He had the power to open it. But before the victory was won, and the Lion could conquer, it had to go through the Lamb. Amen. And it's the Lamb that begins to open up those seals on that scroll. Why? Because he was worthy. Ooh, there's some people in the Bible that understand that. Matthew chapter 8, one day a centurion came running to Jesus and he said, Master, I have a servant at home sick with the palsy and is tormented. Luke says he loved that servant. Jesus said, well, come on, I'll heal him. You know what the centurion said? He said, no. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you would set your foot under the roof of my house. He said, all you've got to do is speak the word, and the servant will be healed. Amen. I want to tell you something. When we recognize his worth and recognize our unworthiness, then, friend, salvation's at the door of our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. He's worthy. Why? Because he is our sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 9 says that he appeared once in the end of this world, to offer himself a sacrifice for sins. And what he's doing is contrasting the one offering of Christ, the Lamb, with all the previous offerings that came before him. They didn't take care of the job. That's why they had to be repeated, the writer says. But he didn't have to, because his offering did the job. And he became our sacrifice. Just as that lamb was put upon the altar to burn in our place.
Yes.
So Jesus sacrificed himself for us. Ooh. John chapter 10, Jesus said something. He said, I've got some sheep. He said, I'm the good shepherd. And then he said this. He said, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Son. Amen. He said in that same chapter, I lay my life down. I watched that movie, The Bible, that been coming on Sunday nights. And when they showed Abraham and Isaac going to Mount Moriah, Isaac was a little lad. Number one, he weren't a little lad. He was in his 20s. So he could have whooped old dad if he'd had a mind to. And it showed little Isaac resisting his dad. He won't know why he's doing this. No. No. According to what I read, he just laid down for his daddy. Ooh, why? You see, he'd hung around daddy long enough and he'd acquired some of his faith. Hallelujah. Amen. And when he said unto him, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. Boy, Isaac just believed his daddy. And he laid down his life. Thus he's a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, no man can take it from me. He said, I lay it down that I might take it again. Hallelujah. Ooh, he's worth beholding because he's worthy. Because he is our sacrifice. Hallelujah. Not only our sacrifice, but he's our song. Now, why do you sing a song? I can't talk about today because I'm so out of it. But let's just talk in old man terms. In my generation, why did anybody sing a song? Two reasons. Number one, he's happy. Number two, they were in love. Amen. Or thirdly, they might sing because they lost that love. Amen. But primarily, we sing because we're happy.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Now, I want to tell you something. If you're looking for a reason to be happy, you've not got to look very far.
Right.
Amen. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now some, they had every reason to be sorrowful. And I want you to understand something. You look at this world and you look at the sorrow and the suffering and the death in this world. It creates sorrow. Glory to God, all you got to do is look to that Lamb. And son, you've got a reason to sing. Ooh, I say oftentimes we've got it backwards here. Amen. Boy, in the Old Testament, that high priest, he went into the Holy of Holies one day a year on the Day of Atonement, and he offered that blood there for the sins of the people. And when it was accepted by God in the temple, when they built it, the priest would then come out. You know what he'd do? He blessed the people. What does that mean? He was telling them, hey, we've been blessed because God has accepted the offering for our sins that we might be forgiven.
Yes.
And you know what happened then? The choir began to sing. Why? Because they had something to be happy about. God had accepted their offering and they'd been forgiven their sins.
Amen.
Boy, I want to tell you, one of the saddest things in the church today is that we have forgotten what Jesus did for us. Amen.
Right.
We were excited when we first got saved that we were forgiven, how fresh and new it was and how excited we were. But some of the new wore off and then we got bored. I want to tell you something, we need to get happy again because He's not only our sacrifice, but He is our song, not only now, but throughout eternity.
Yes, sir.
All the children of Israel were trapped at the Red Sea. Nowhere to go. Pharaoh's army bearing down on him. That's something else they didn't put in the movie, but that's all right. They began to fuss at Moses, which became a habit of theirs. Amen. They went through that Red Sea. You see, the movie didn't show it, but God put a pillar of fire there in darkness between them and Pharaoh. He couldn't come in that water until God opened the gate. He didn't chase them off into that water. They'd already on the other side when God opened the gate up. Amen. They got in the middle of that water and all of a sudden the walls of water collapsed and drowned them all. Now guess what they did in Exodus 15 when they got on the other side? The Bible says they began to sing a song. Hey man! You know what the name of their song was? He has drowned the horse and his rider. You say, well, that doesn't sound like a very happy subject to sing about. It does if that individual, that horse and rider, is coming to kill you. And so, son, they recognize God's done a wonderful work for us. Let's sing about
it. Amen. Yes, sir.
Yes. Glory to God. We sing because we are happy. And there is a song that has that name, isn't there? Book of Judges, chapter 4. The Bible says the children of Israel sinned against the Lord and did evil in His eyes. So He raised up Jabin, the king of Canaan, to come against them. And He did. Captain of His host's name was Sisera. And they come after the children of Israel, were tormenting them, getting ready to whoop them good. And there was a judge over Israel at that time. And the name of that judge was Deborah. Amen. You see, dear friend, whenever God can't find a man to do the job, He'll find a woman that'll do the job. And He does so for the shame of the men. And I tell the prisoners there at the prison, I say, many a church would have already collapsed if it wasn't for the faithful women in that church. Because men are too sorry, too manly, too busy, too something or other, not to support the house of God and take their children as daddy, which they should. Of course, I'm trying to get them to do that with their children so they don't wind up in prison like they are.
Right.
And so Deborah, the judge of Israel, calls a man named Barak. I'm not going to call him Barak. Spelled the same way. And listen what she said. She said, hey, old boy, didn't God tell you to do something? She did. Didn't God tell you to get 10,000 men, go down there and meet Sisera and those armies of Jabin? He said, yes, He did. Well, why ain't you gone? He said, I'll go if you'll go with me, but I ain't going without you. And you know what Deborah said? Give her all the credit in the world. She said, I'll go with you, Barak. But he said, it's not going to be for your glory because God's going to deliver the hands of the enemy into the hands of a woman. Woman, women, don't ever underestimate yourself.
That's right.
Don't ever underestimate yourself. Amen. So guess what? They did what God said. She provoked him to enough jealousy that he did it. And you know what happened? They routed that army and sent him a running. And old Sisera, he went to running, the captain of the host. And he ran, trying to find some place to hide. And he made a fatal mistake. He ran into the tent of a woman. Women very important in this story. Now listen, folks, if you ever decide to run from God, don't go to the belly of a ship and don't go to a woman's house. Amen.
Yeah.
And he run in there and he was give out. And he decided he's going to take him a nap. Bad idea. Bad idea. Ask Samson. Her name was Jael. You know what she did? She pulled a spike out of the ground that was holding the tent. She went over while he was asleep. Put it to his head. Pow. Nailed it through his head. End of story. But the next chapter 5 in verse 1, guess what we see them doing? Singing a song.
Yeah.
God has brought victory. Let's sing a song for God and praise Him. Ooh,
yes, sir,
amen. Got a reason to sing. See, we've lost our reason to sing.
Yeah.
I couldn't sing that first song. Hardly, I didn't know it. I never heard it before. I tried. It was terrible. Amen. But we have a reason to sing.
Yeah,
to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The Moabites and the Ammonites. And who were they? Lot's children. Don't have time. And the people of Mount Seir decided they're going to come against Israel with their armies. And someone came running and he told a man named Jehoshaphat, who happened to be the king. And you know what Jehoshaphat said? Oh man, we're in trouble. I'm going to go talk to God. And that's what he did. He talked to God and reminded him of all the great and wonderful works that he did in the past and how that he ruled over all the kings of this world. You ain't got to worry about Washington, D.C. Amen.
Right.
Do your part, but then let her go. Laugh about the rest. God's got it in control. Amen.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. And then here comes Zechariah's son. And he said, boys, let me tell you something. God gave me a message for you. He's going to deliver them into your hands. Ooh. Amen. You know what Jehoshaphat did? He went to the people and he said, listen, young'uns, here's what you need to do. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Amen. What does that mean? Mean ain't nobody going to move you because you are established. Amen. Glory to God. And you know what they did next after the good news? They were happy, happy, happy. And they began to sing.
Yeah.
Yes, they sang a song. Guess what was going on while they were singing? The Bible says that God ambushed that bunch. That's the word used. Ambushments. That's the words that's used. What happened? Those people of Seir, they flung out of the forest to fight Israel. There's the Moabites and Ammonites scared them so bad they turned and killed that bunch. And they got some confused in the midst. The Moabites and the Ammonites began to kill each other. And so the children of Israel, after they sang their song, went down there to meet the battle. And when they got there, guess what? The field was full of dead folks. There wasn't nobody left to fight. Now, who can do that but God? Son, that's the kind of war I'd like to get in on. Amen. Where God's already brought the victory. Now, the important thing is that they sang the song before the victory was ever given, but it was considered already given because God said it was so. Hallelujah. We believe God. Son, we got a song in our heart. We've got a song to sing. Ezra chapter 3. They've come out of exile. They've returned to Jerusalem. Nehemiah's building the walls. And Ezra and Zerubbabel begin to rebuild the temple along with Zechariah. And son, the foundations of that thing are laid and they see it. Woo! You know what they did? The Bible says they began to sing. Glory to God.
Yes.
We're back! We're back! God forgive our sin and He's delivered us back to our homeland. Glory. Sing, sing, sing. Rejoice! Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are beaten. They're put in a dark dungeon, in prison, chained. The Bible says about midnight. Now, if I'm going to sing, midnight ain't the time for me. But if I was in their situation, I might ought to rethink it. About midnight, you know what the Bible says? They prayed. And after they got through praying, you know, I'm believing that whenever they prayed, God showed them something. Amen?
Yeah.
Preacher just said, you have not because you ask not. Now, I don't know what they prayed. Bible don't tell. It says they prayed. But after they got through praying, they did something else. The Bible says they sang praises to God.
Yes, sir.
And the other prisoners heard them.
Amen!
Amen. What reason do they have to sing chained after having been beaten in a dark dungeon? No reason when you look at it from the earthly side. But honey, when you look at it through an eye of faith and you get through talking to God and realize why you're there, son, you've got something to be happy about. Therefore, you've got something to sing about. Whoa! There's a book in the Bible. You know what it's called? Song of Solomon. And he's singing about his honey pie. A Shunammite woman that he has been stricken by. Now, he got stricken by too many in old age, but this one here really got a hold of him. Amen.
Yes.
That's right. And so, Jesus is our song. That's why he's worthy. Now, you look back in Revelation 5, right where we were, and where we left off at verse number 8. At verse number 9, after having the Lamb be worthy to open the seals, look what it says in verse 9, Revelation 5, 9. And they sung a new song, saying what? Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. Why? Because he was good looking. Because he was a powerful angel. No, look. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nations. Closes by saying we're going to reign upon the earth. Whew. Whew, son. You see, there comes a time in our experience where an old song won't do. We got to have a new one. And you know what causes a new song to come into our experience and our life? My friend, something new God's done for us. Amen. Yes! Glory to God. Some people get saved and that's the end of it. They don't ever recognize anything else that God does for them. Now, He's doing plenty. They just don't recognize it, and therefore they don't have the joy and the rejoicing that they should have as a result of it. And I tell them prisoners, because a lot of them are younger men, I say, I want to tell you something. I didn't realize what was going on in my life whenever God saved me and I began to preach until I got old and I looked back. And son, when I look back, I see God's hand everywhere, how He took care of me, how He protected me, how He provided for me. I'm telling you, I was crazy. Ain't no way I'd do what I did again today. I'm too smart. I know what you're thinking. You don't act too smart to me. I understand that. But I'm trying to be honest with you. Amen. I married my wife. We didn't know each other but a couple of months. I tell everybody, I said, don't do what I did. Not because I regret it, but God was in it. Had He not been in it, I don't want to think about it. That's the truth. We were crazy. So crazy, my daddy pulled me aside. He said, son, are you sure this is the woman? You ain't known her very long. He's worried about me, and with good reason. I've been worried about my boy. He'd done something like that. Amen. But when I look back through my life, at the age of 64, I see through all the things I went through that brought sorrow and doubt in my life. I could see God's hand in it and how it was working. So you know what? Whether you understand it or not, you ought to go to walking with God. And whenever your world crashes upon you, son, just sing a song, because when you get old, you're going to be able to look back and see how God used that. Boy, Brother Ike preaches funeral after funeral after funeral, and I've preached some, and I had people come and say, why did God take my mama or my daddy or my wife, etc. and so on? Well, I have to answer, I don't know. Because I don't. Well, I'm going to tell you this. There's coming a day we will know.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what I've noticed in life. And that's why I'm still here. It seems that God always takes the best first.
Yes.
Well, that's obviously not me. My oldest sister, my wife will tell you, joy to be around, joy of the family, not a member of the family. She didn't love absolutely with a pure heart, always had a laugh, a smile, had a heart of faith. She's the first one to go. You know what the question was after she went? Why her first? Why not some of us that ain't worth a flip? Huh? That's it, amen. Hallelujah. He's our song. I want to tell you something. We have a reason to sing, and we have something to sing about. And what we need to sing is, Thou art worthy! Because He is. He's our sacrifice. He's our song. And He's our shout. Now, this is where we get out from being Baptists. Because we don't believe in shouting. You see, we want to come together. We want to be very reverential. And we should be reverential. But that don't mean being dead.
Amen.
That don't mean being dead.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
It's all right to shout. Just shout respectfully.
Amen.
Amen. People have an idea or a thought that whenever God saves you, the good times are over. But that's not true.
Right.
That's just not true.
Amen,
amen. We've got plenty to sing about and to shout about.
Yeah.
We just don't do it. Amen. All right, we sing because we're happy. Why do we shout? Because we're excited.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Why don't we shout in church? We're just not excited. We're thinking about cornbread and pot roast. And turnip greens. And what I'm going to do next week. And oh my, tomorrow's Monday. Amen.
Yep.
And rather than looking at right now and why you're here.
Yes, man, brother. Yeah.
and shouting about what God's done for you, we just sit there. I wish that old man had shut up so I could get to the house. Amen. Amen. Son, there's a time to shout.
Yes, sir.
There's a time to shut up, but there's a time to shout. Amen. They were there at the Red Sea trapped. They began to fuss at Moses. Moses said, shut up and be still. Quit fidgeting, trying to decide which direction to run and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. That bunch should have believed God, but they didn't. They came to Jericho, Joshua chapter 6. God said, here's the battle plan, boys. This is it, Joshua. I want you to walk around that city one time for 6 days. Now, if you read the account of Rahab, who was mentioned earlier, she said everybody's shaking in their boots because of y'all, because they've seen and heard what God's done for you. And so they were on the walls of that city, same walls Rahab was on, and they was watching that bunch walk around that city. And they were probably walking around the walls with them just watching them. And they were waiting for them to attack, you know. And then they'd stop and they'd go, I didn't say nothing. And they scratched their head. Did that for 6 days. And so they begin to say, what in the world's going on? But God said the seventh day, he said, walk around it 7 times.
Yeah.
And so something's different today. They're watching them walk around until they're drunk, they're dizzy. And God said, for them priests up front with those horns, he said, I want them to blow on them long, and I want to blow on them loud. And said, when you hear those ram's horns, those trumpets, he said, I want you to shout.
Amen. Yeah, yeah.
You want me to tell you what'll scare you in life? Somebody sneak up behind you and shout! Son, that'll scare you good, amen. So here this whole crowd is, and they've been waiting for them attack for a whole week as they're walking around that city, and all of a sudden they lock her down, and they're watching. They begin to blow those ram's horns. Then all of a sudden that whole crowd, yeah! Bible says those walls fell down. It didn't just say they fell down, it said they fell down flat. Didn't fall like this. They fell like this. You see, Rahab rode elevator down. That's all she did. She just rode that thing down. Went off with the children of Israel. Glory to God. You think God doesn't know everything? Read Matthew chapter 1. You'll find her in the genealogy of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes.
They shouted.
Yes, they did.
Lord, help us. I've put you to sleep. Back at Ezra chapter 3. After they sang their songs and they look at that temple, you know what the Bible says they did? It says they shouted. What did they shout? Most of the time it's, hallelujah! You know what that means? It means praise Jehovah, praise the Lord. That's what it means. And the Bible says half that bunch was a shouting and the other half was crying. All the old men that had seen Solomon's temple had survived the exile who came back. The Bible says they went to weeping. They went to weeping. And the Bible says it was so loud you couldn't tell those that were shouting from those that were weeping. Now they weren't weeping for sorrow. They were weeping for joy. God has brought them back home.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's a time to shout. Why don't we learn it right now? First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. He said this, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a harmonica. No. He shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Yeah.
Glory to God. You know what's going to happen when he does that? Bible tells us right in that chapter. Some of the dead in Christ, them that sleep in Jesus, are coming out of that place. And as they're coming out and passing us, we're going to be changed and we're going up with them.
Yes. It's going to be a good
Now, I just preached about that a couple of weeks ago, how that Jesus, with a loud cry, cried on the cross and yielded up the ghost. And what happened when he did that? The graves opened. He has to be careful how he shouts. Everything wants to get up and go when he shouts, Amen! You know why there ain't nothing getting up and going in the church house? We forgot how to shout.
Yes.
And we forgot we have a reason to shout. Why? Because he's worthy. Ooh.
Yeah.
Y'all wearing me out. He's our sacrifice. He's our song. He's our shout. And he's our standard. He's worthy to be our standard. What do you mean, preacher? Our example.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Now, in the Bible, Old Testament, it talks about standards. You know what they were? They were flags. Every tribe had one. All the tribes of Israel, and identified them. Amen. But you know what? The Bible says that there was a certain place where they used a name referring to God. It was just Jehovah Nissi. You know what it means? God is my banner. God is my flag. That's it. Amen. He's worthy to be our standard. Old Joshua lived for God all of his life, and he was about to die. And he told the children of Israel this. He said, choose ye this day whether it be evil to serve the Lord. He said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve him. Amen. That's it. You see, he had became Joshua's standard of his life.
Yes,
and in his old age, about to die, and believe me, he's one of the few, he weren't about to quit now. Amen. Glory to God. He said, I'm going to serve God. Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Right.
For it is the power of God unto salvation. Glory to God. Man, he wasn't ashamed of it. We become ashamed of the gospel. You want me to tell you why? Because the opposition's mounting, brothers and sisters. You may as well get ready for it.
Yeah.
Amen. You may as well get ready for it. It's a coming. You see, we don't want to fight in church. Son's time's coming. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight or else you're going to be run over. And that's just the truth. And it's coming hard and fast. I just read this week where a student in Central Florida, and I can't remember the name of the college to save my life. The instructor in that class told his students to do this. Now, I'm telling you the truth. I just read it. Told them to take a piece of paper and write upon that piece of paper the name Jesus. Well, they did it. And after they did it, he told them to do this. He said, now throw it on the floor and stomp on it as hard as you can. One person in class didn't do it. I asked him how come he didn't do it. He said, because to do that would imply that there was no value in that name. And he said, there is value in that name. And he was suspended for it. I'm so glad I didn't go to college. I don't know how I got this smart without it. It's just amazing to me. But I'm glad I didn't go. And if that's what they're doing, I don't want my youngin' to go.
Amen.
And if they did go and I heard that kind of garbage, I'd be down there knocking on the door.
Yes, sir. Amen, brother.
If you think I won't, you ask my wife or my son. I'll go down there in a heartbeat.
Yes, sir.
Ain't going to pull that kind of shenanigans. Amen! He's our standard!
Amen.
God feels that way. Acts chapter 17, been preaching there on Mars Hill. He said this, he says, there's coming a day when God is going to judge the world by the one that he has ordained, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to judge the world by him. You see, that's it. Well, I know so-and-so goes to church and he ain't worth a bullet to take to blow him away. He's a hypocrite. Well, I got some good news for you. You're not going to be judged by him. You're not going to be judged by him. You're going to be judged by a much higher standard, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's it. Amen. And I hear that so much, people criticizing the church, when all they're really saying is, I ain't going. Or they're saying, I'm yeller. I don't want to stand up. Listen, he's worth standing up fire.
Yes, he is.
You know what Paul said? He said, when you've done everything that you can do, he said, do this. Stand. Stand. And the church has quit taking a stand. And dear, we are paying a severe price for it in our land today. I'm going to hush. Behold the Lamb, because He's worthy. Behold the Lamb, because He's willing. He was willing to die for us, willing to suffer, and willing to save. Hallelujah. Behold the Lamb, because He's a witness Lamb. Witness to in the Scripture, witness to in the church, witness to in the saints, witness to in the heavens,
yes,
in creation.
Amen.
He's worthy. That's what Paul said.
Yes, sir.
But not only is He worthy, is He willing. Not only is He witnessed, but there is a chance that He might be the wrong Lamb. John the Baptist was in prison. He sent his disciples to Jesus to ask this question. Art thou He that should come, or should we look for another? Amen? Now you see, if man wrote the Bible, that would have never been in there. You know, and I'm certainly not going to criticize John the Baptist after what he did, amen. I don't know what was done to him in that prison before he lost his head, and I'm not going to be critical. But I want to tell you something. In this world today, he is the wrong Lamb. Let me tell you what Jesus said in John chapter 8. He said, I come in My Father's name, and you receive Me not. And then He said this, if another come in his own name, He said, him you will receive. You know what was wrong with Jesus? Matthew wrote his gospel to prove that Jesus was the Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament. You know why that bunch that should have been looking for Him crucified Him? Because He was the wrong Messiah. Do you know why Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus? He didn't betray Him for the money. Oh, he took the money initially, but he didn't put it in his pocket. What did he do? He threw it back in there. He didn't want it when he realized what he'd done. He said, I betrayed innocent blood. Why would he say such a thing? Didn't he know that before he did that? Because he was the wrong Messiah. Judas thought that he was Samson, that he was Gideon, Barak, or one of those great warriors that God had sent. And he thought that if he put him in a corner where the armies came at him and pinned him in that garden, that he'd have to be who he really was. And when it turned out that Judas Iscariot was not that, that Jesus was not that Messiah, that He wasn't the lion, that He was the lamb, Judas went out and hung himself. He hung in there until he rotted and his body fell and his bowels burst out. You see, he might be the wrong lamb. Because you see, society hates him. Huh? Now, you see, for many years, our government and society tolerated him. But now they hate him. Do you know that when Jesus appeared, they tolerated him until he walked up to them and pointed to them and pointed out their evil deeds. Now, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, the world can't hate you, but it hateth me. You know why he said that? He's the one doing the preacher. He said, because I'm exposing their deeds that they're evil. But they weren't preaching at this time. Believe me, they would later and they'd pay the same price. Amen?
Yes. Right.
And then he said, marvel not that the world hates you, say, because it hated me before it hated you.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Society hates him. They are no longer tolerating him. He's been thrown out of the school.
Yeah.
Amen. He's been thrown out of society. Don't you dare put up a manger scene on anything that's even close to what is called public land. I saw on the news this week where a family fled from Germany because they homeschooled their children and it is illegal, and they were facing prison for homeschooling their children because they didn't like what they was being taught in the secular school in Germany. Now this is American. It's bad enough here. You think what it's like over there. And guess what? Mr. Obama said, no, you got to go. You can't stay here. We just released a lot of illegal immigrants out of prison because of the so-called sequester. But no, we got to send that bunch back because they had the nerve and the gumption enough to flee to a land where they thought they could teach their children in their home. Right. You want me to tell you why? Our nation is becoming God haters.
That's true.
And we had better open up our eyes and realize it and behold the Lamb.
Amen.
Why does society hate him, preacher? Because Satan hates him. Satan hates him. Amen? His one desire is to have Jesus worship him. He took Jesus up to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said, these are mine. They're delivered unto me and I give them to whoever I want to have them. Now go read it if you don't think that's true. Jesus didn't argue with him. He said, all this will I give you. I'm going to give you a shortcut to what you want. All this will I give you if you'll just fall down and worship me. Now here's what's behind that. He was not absolutely sure that Jesus was the Son of God. Because he began those with this, if thou be the Son of God. He didn't know who he was. He was trying to find out who he was. And you know what? Jesus didn't turn the stones into bread. He didn't jump off the pinnacle of the temple. He didn't succumb in any way. So the Bible says that Satan left him for a season. He still didn't know who he was. But it wasn't long. He knew who he was. Amen. And then he went about doing everything he could possibly do to end his life and his ministry as quick as he could. Amen. And guess what? Jesus, John 8, he said, you call yourselves the children of Abraham, but he said, I've got news for you. You're of your father, the devil. Amen. If you behave like him, then you've got to be his children. That's what he's saying. Amen. We need to behold the Lamb. He ain't the wrong Lamb. Oh, he's the right Lamb. Amen. And he's our Savior. So you know what? Since he's so worthy, we need to sing. And we need to shout. He's our Savior. I used to tell my church, we'd get to Mully Grub sometime and people would be a mumbling and singing. And I'd stop and I'd say, hey, let's sing that song so that the neighbors can hear it. Going through these walls and they'll know something's going on in here. Amen. Yes! Now, ain't that what happened to them prisoners where Paul and Silas was? They heard what was going on. And some, whenever they heard what was going on, they wanted to get on in on it. Especially when them doors flew open and said, woo, son, we done got a hold of somebody that can do something about our situation. Jesus can do exactly what you need. Matter of fact, he's already done for you exactly what you need. All we need is the faith to lay hold of it, to recognize it, and then sing and shout about it.
Yes, sir.
Whew, ain't nothing wrong with having a good time.
Amen, brother.
Now, I ain't for foolishness at all. Don't get me wrong. Boy, David dancing down the street because of the victory that God had brought him.
Yes.
His wife, Micah, looking out the window. Aren't you silly? You're a king, now, acting like that, boy.
Yes.
Why did he dance? Son, he was happy. And he was having a good time in the Lord. And you know what? If we can learn to rejoice and to shout and to sing in the Lord, somebody else watching us just might acquire a thirst for the same thing that we've got a hold of. Amen.
Amen.
But it's not going to happen if we can't show them a reason for living for Jesus. Amen.
Amen, brother.
But he's worthy. He's the Lamb of God. And we should behold him. Amen. Preacher, you take it.